every head bowed, every eye closed. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you for the privilege of being present in this place. Privilege of praise, preaching. Receiving from you, Lord, your word, that we be made to better. That we be conformed to the image of your Son. Thank you, Lord, for every mountain, every valley, every trial you have brought us through. Thank you for right now. Lord, I decrease, you increase. Less of me, more of you. And Father, I pray that you send your word as you send rain and snow from heaven to water the earth, to give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So send your word, Lord, and we know that it will accomplish all that you send it out to accomplish. Lord, for your name's sake, counsel out every stratagem and scheme of the enemy, that nothing will hinder your word from going forth. Have your way in us and through us for your glory and our good. And when you would have finished with us, you'll still be God, still sitting on your throne, still orchestrating our affairs, still being the caregiver and the caretaker of our souls. We thank you and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Cleanse us. Make us fit vessels to be used by you. Be pleased to look upon us in Jesus' name. And every heart say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Look, John chapter 5. What a glorious and grand day it is for us to be alive, alert, and active. It is in the Lord Jesus Christ we live, move, and have our being. And certainly he has navigated our niches and allowed us the privilege of being participatory in this place of praise once again. It's good to be alive. Good to be in the land of the dying, on our way to the land of the living. It's good to be alive. John chapter 5. Reading is a little lengthy, beginning with verse 1. Reading is a little lengthy, beginning with verse 1, and we will end our reading with verse 18. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole, or made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, He said, be made whole. The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no one to put me in when the water is troubled. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry your bed. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same, said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Then answered they him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up your bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, I want you to work this one in your spirit. My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. He says, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. The church can never work outside of the parameters of God's working. For Jesus himself owned up to, you may be seated, the confines of working within God's will, God's field of work. For my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. The church is not at liberty to exercise the power of God as she chooses. In other words, the church cannot exercise the power of God independent of God's will. The church must be totally dependent on God to operate under the authority and power of God. Let me parenthetically pause to say, God does not give you power to do your own thing. He gives you permission and power to do his will. For the church must totally depend on God and operate within God's permission, God's parameter,
of work. For Jesus, being God in the flesh, being the express image of God, being the expression of the invisible God, he submitted himself to the will of his Father. For he occasionally said, I didn't come to do my own thing, but I came to do the will of my Father. Brothers and sisters, as we tiptoe into the premise of this particular text, John chapter 5 opens with a miserable sight at a merciful place. For Jesus came into Jerusalem to observe one of the feasts of the Jews. And as Jesus was going through the sheep gate, there was a pool. And the pool had five porches filled with a great multitude of impotent people. People who were blind. People who were lame, paralyzed, and they were waiting for the moving or the movement of the water. For a certain man was around the pool, and he was an invalid. He was paralyzed, and he was waiting for the moving of the water. For the text says that an angel would come down and stir the water. And whoever was in the water first was made whole. Now, this man, 38 years with his infirmity, we don't know how long he was around the pool. All we know is that he had this infirmity for 38 years. The text is not saying that this man was around the pool for 38 years. However long he was around the pool, he never saw himself as first. Someone else would always, being that he didn't have the use of his legs, he had to crawl or pull himself with his arms. And somebody else with an issue would make it into the water first. And here comes Jesus to the pool. And he sees this man who's impotent, who has this infirmity for 38 years, and he asks the man, do you want to be made whole? Now, seemingly, this is an absurd question. He's around the pool, and he's waiting for the troubling of the water, but here it is. Jesus has the audacity to say to the man, do you want to be made whole? I can imagine the man looking up at Jesus and saying, look at me. Look at my condition. But let me say to us, you can't always go on what you see, because some people feel contrary to how they look and how things seem. Jesus didn't ask the man the question to seek knowledge for himself. He wanted to wake up in the man his faith and to take his faith from the troubling of the water to the living water. Do you want to be made whole? That's a question that ought to be surveyed and asked in this place today, because like this man, we may not be lame from the waist down, but some of us are lame from the waist up. We got conditions. We too have infirmities. We ought to survey the house today to ask, do you want to be made whole? One thing I discovered is everybody who say they want, don't want. That's right. That's right. That's right. Because some people love the attention they get from their disabilities, their infirmities. And if you do away with the infirmities, you do away with their disabilities, they won't get the attention. Some people love talking about what's wrong with them. Instead of what's right. I mean, you run into somebody, you know, they can be having marital struggles. And instead of talking about what's right, they'll tell you everything that's wrong. They love the sympathy that comes out of people hearing what's wrong. Some people, all they talk about is how bad their children are. Instead of the positive and the good things that's going on, they love that attention. So everybody who say they want to be made whole, everybody who say they want to be healed, don't. Because if you do away with the healing, you do away with the infirmities, they don't have a way of getting attention. Jesus looked at this man and says, do you want to be made whole? And this man went on a spiel saying that I have no one to put me in. Now, listen to this, because he said first, I have no one to put me in first. Everybody around the pool is, you know, trying to get in the pool themselves. So I have nobody to put me in first. Let me tell you now, when your faith is placed in the wrong object, it causes competition. Because only the first could get healed. So being that the angel troubled the water because his faith was in the water and everybody else's faith was in the water, it was an issue of being in the water or getting in the water first. You have to watch preaching that takes your faith and places your faith on an object other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you hear things like the first five that come are blessed. The first five that show up are blessed. The first five that give are blessed. Listen, Jesus don't need a first place to bless you. Because Jesus is the first place. When he comes on the scene, you don't have to worry about getting in first. You just need to get in. Is there anybody here can be a witness that Jesus Christ, he don't need you to come to the altar first if you just come? He gave this spiel about first. And Jesus didn't even entertain this man's response. He just said to the man, pick up your bed and walk. Simple instructions. No abracadabra. No scooter here, scooter there. Just simple instructions. Listen, if you miss out on your blessings, you miss out on your blessings because you fail to heed simple instructions. Listen, some people can't or refuse to be saved because they don't see salvation as something free to receive. Instead of simplifying salvation and how to receive salvation, they complicate. They have to add things that they must do to feel like they are earning salvation. But Jesus simplified. He gave the man simple instructions. He says, man, just pick up your bed and walk. He says, pick up your bed. Do something that you have not done in 38 years. Now, somewhere between Jesus' mouth and the man's ears, God worked a miracle, gave strength to his weak legs, so he could do what Jesus commanded him to do. Listen, whenever Jesus gives you a command, he doesn't leave it up to you to do it. He gives you the power to do it. Somebody here ought to be a witness that you didn't know how you were going to make it. You didn't know what you were going to do. You didn't know where the power was going to come from. But somewhere between God's mouth and your ears, God gave you the power to do it. Something he hadn't done in 38 years. Pick up your bed. He didn't even have enough strength to pick himself up. But now he's up and he picks up his mat and shoulders the mat. And he's walking. He's walking around with his mat. And you got some trivial religious folk who saw him carrying his mat. And they were more concerned about a law than they were the man being delivered from his misery. See, some people can tolerate you and they like you as long as you're down. But when the Lord comes in your life and he picks you up, they have a problem. Because they don't want to see you up. They were more concerned about their laws, their additional laws attached to God's word. And they began to question the man because they said he was in violation of the Sabbath. Man, you don't supposed to carry your bed on the Sabbath. And the man said, well, the man who healed me. Now, isn't this something? He's healed and don't even know the man who healed him. See, sometimes the Lord heals you first. Because he knows that it's coming back around. Some of you have been healed and you didn't know him. He didn't know him. He says, I don't know the man. And then Jesus runs into him again in the temple and says, you whole. And the man says, by the way, you got me in trouble with the religious leaders. Thank you for healing me, but man, you got me in trouble. Because they accuse me of working on the Sabbath. They accuse me of violating God on the Sabbath. And Jesus said, you know, don't worry. Because the Sabbath was made for men. See, the Sabbath at that time, not Christian Sabbath, but Jewish Sabbath, was Saturday. And according to Exodus, it was the time that God rested. But here we see from the text that God never stopped being God. Because God never sat back and did nothing, because the world cannot exist without God. So God, He stamped today so that the Sabbath would be a time that we could concentrate and meditate on the goodness of God. Now that we're in Christian Sabbath, listen, when we come into the house of God, this is a time for us and an opportunity for us to get away from everything in the world and come in and focus our minds on the goodness of the Lord. Listen, let me just kind of poll the house. Is there anybody here that thank God for waking you up this morning? Is there anybody in here thank God for bringing you a mighty long ways? Is there anybody in here that thanks God for putting food on the table and clothes on the back, shoes on the feet? Is there anybody in here that thank God for leading them around seen and unseen dangers? This is a time for us to sit and meditate and concentrate on the goodness of the Lord. Get away from everything else that troubles you. Focus on God. But the religious leaders were upset because they saw this man as in violation of their rule. Listen, rules without relationship leads to rebellion. And we are to be and ought to be more concerned about relationship than rules. You know, we have a whole lot of rules that you can't find in the Bible. You know, that make it hard for people who's trying. We have rules. And you know, those who make the rules know how to cut around. Know how to excuse themselves from the very rule that they use to condemn somebody else. So the church is more about relationship. And that's what Jesus wanted to show the religious leaders. You are caught up in a whole lot of rules. But man, I'm interested in relationship. God is interested in relationship. Because it's only until you get in relationship with the Lord that you will abide by His word. Jesus says, "You made whole." Now, from verse 17, two things I want to pull out, and I'm done. Jesus says, "My Father works now." And then He goes on to say, "And I work." I like that. First of all, we see Jesus's personal relationship with God the Father. He says, "My Father." He addresses God the Father as His Father. Now, I want you to understand that God did not become Jesus's Father when He was born. No, he has always been and will always be. Matter of fact, the Bible says that God sent His Son, which means that God was Father before Jesus came to earth. Now, Jesus became the Son of Mary at birth, but He was always the Son of God. Because who Jesus is, He will always be. Because it's never a was, it's always is. That's the isness of God. The isness of Jesus. Jesus didn't become He was always, and he will be always who he is who he will always be. Jesus is God the Son. And he came to express God the Father. Now, here it is, John, he opens with, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So in calling God his Father, Jesus called himself the Son of God. Jesus as God the Son means that Jesus is equal. Because he's the only one who could say to his disciples, when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. He deals with his relationship. Paul said in Colossians chapter 1 verse 15 that Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. Jesus Christ reflects exactly who God the Father is. Jesus the Son does exactly what the Father does. Jesus himself said in John chapter 10 verse 30, I and my Father are one. He says, we won. So he came to show us how necessary it is for us to have a relationship with the Father through the Son. That he's one with God. And because we are in his body, he connects us to the power of God. See, what I'm preaching is for the saved. It's for people who confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's for people who have submitted themselves to the Lord and have given him the reins and rule of their lives. See, the reason some of you don't experience the power of God operative in your life is because you think you don't need God. And here it is, Jesus said, me and my Father are one. Now, the Jews had a problem because Jesus made himself equal with God. Listen, the more entrenched you are in your relationship with the Lord, the more hated you're going to be among men. I lost some of you right there. I lost some of you right there because some of you want to be everybody's buddy. So some of you want everybody to like you. You want everybody to be for you. But listen, the closer you get to the Lord, the further you're going to become from men. And we see it in the text that he made himself equal. They said he made himself equal. And so they had a problem. Even the religious people who should have been able to identify him as the Son of God, they had a problem. Isn't it something when church folk got a problem? We about your relationship and your religiosity. Isn't that something? When church people, they talk down on you and they demean you and they bash your name because you're trying to be serious about God. They got a problem with your praise. They got a problem with your prayer. They got a problem with your preaching. They got a problem. But the closer you get, the more you hate it. Oh, I got to quit. That Jesus, he came to show us the need of relationship with God. And what happens when you get serious in your relationship with God? That he was hated. And then they began to plot as to how they could kill him. Boy, I don't want to warn you of this, but I got to. See, you think just other folks' names are on hit lists. Your name on there too? You sit in here this Sunday and you done all that shouting and you done all that praising. You done all that throwing up your hands and hollering at the choir and hollering at the preacher. Your name on there too? And if they don't get you today, they want you tomorrow. And if they don't get to tomorrow, they're going to get to the day after tomorrow. And if they can't get to then, they're going to keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on until they think they can get you. Your name on there too. Let me quit. He deals with the importance of relationship with God the Father. But then he also deals with God's prerogative in exercising the power. Man. He says, my Father has been working. And then he attaches to my Father has been working and I have worked too. There would be no "and I work too" if Father didn't have the prerogative to work his power. In other words, he doesn't leave it up to you, to me, to us, to do whatever we want to do with the power. No, the power is to be exercised within his will. It makes us acknowledge God as the source of the power. When we come and preach and sing, and it touches people, it's not us. When we come together and you pray and it touches somebody and somebody experiences a breakthrough, it's not us. That we have to own up and acknowledge that is God. And listen, when you give God the credit, oh, you think you have saw something or seen something then. When you give God the credit for where you are, when you give God the credit for what you have, when you give God the credit for the ability that you have to do, you will see God do more things in your life, the exceeding abundance above all you could ever ask or think. He's the source. And you know what God wants us to do?
Yes.
He wants us to walk around bragging on him.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, we ought to walk around bragging on him. If it had not been for the Lord on my side. Is there anybody here all of, who know how to brag on him? When people go to tell you how good you got it, you ought to tell them, try if it hadn't been for the Lord. When they go to talking about how good you look, you ought to tell them, if it hadn't been for the Lord. When they go to looking at how you live and how you drive and how you eat, you ought to brag on the Lord and tell them, if it hadn't been for the Lord. I help preachers say, man, you got some folks in that house. It ain't me that got them in that house. God is drawing. It is the Lord. And listen, when you can give God the credit, you don't mind praising him for what he's doing. Is there anybody in here who don't mind giving God praise for what God has done? Come on and bless his name. Been too good to me for me to sit here as if he hadn't done anything for me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Could have been, should have been dead, sleeping in the grave, but I'm sitting up in here, standing up in here. Thank you, Lord. He's the source. If he didn't bring me, I wouldn't be here. And I can give him praise because I was that lame man around the pool running to get in, dragging and crawling to get in. But somebody else will always beat me in. But thank God for Jesus, that Jesus came by my place of mercy, because Bethesda means house of mercy. The mercy of God came to the house of mercy where I was messed up from the flow up. But he picked me up, turned my life around. You ought to high five somebody and tell them that he turned my life around. Thank God for Jesus, because if it had not been for Jesus, I would have still been messed up. I would still be messed up. I would still be messed up. But thank God for Jesus, because he knows where to come. He knows when to come. And when he show up, he knows what to do. Thank God for Jesus. He came down through 42 generations for a messed up boy like me. He came down through 42 generations because I was lame and I couldn't walk on my own. But thank God that he came down and tabernacled among the human predicament for 33 and a half long years. Thank God for Jesus that he fed the hungry. He opened the eyes of the blind. He strengthened lame legs. And he gave hearing to the deaf. Thank God for Jesus. But one Friday, he did his ultimate work. He put an old rugged cross upon his shoulders. And he marched up the Via Dolorosa. He let him nail his hands and rivet his feet. He let him hang him between two thieves until the S-U-N refused to shine. He let him hang him between two thieves until the moon dripped away in blood. She let him hang him between two thieves until the cosmic order got intoxicated and the stars fell from the silver socket and the earth reeled and rocked like a drunk man. He let him nail his hands and hang him on the cross until the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom. He let him hang him on the cross until a centurion said he must be the Son of God. He died on that cross. They took his lifeless body down from the cross and put it in a borrowed tomb. He only needed the tomb for Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday at noonday, Saturday night, but Sunday morning. Do I have any early morning people? Is there anybody here who know about early morning, Sunday morning, when the stone was rolled away and the stone that was in the stone came from behind the stone and said, all power in my hand is of heaven and earth. I got power to make you walk right. I got power to make you talk right. I got power to make your enemies leave you alone. I got power to pick your life up and to place your feet on solid ground. I'm done now, but let me ask you my question. Ain't he all right? If you know he's all right, let me hear you say yes! 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 Yes!
The doors. The doors. The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. If you're going to exercise the power, it requires a personal relationship. But you have to operate that power according to the prerogative of God. That you are not at liberty to act independent of God, but totally, totally dependent on the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone to your feet as we stand and give invitation. If you're here today and you're not saved, come give the Lord your life while the blood is running warm in your vein. Accept him as Lord and Savior, and he will save you. He will secure you. If you can simply believe in your heart, confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth. The Bible says, thou shalt be saved. Secondly, if you're here, need of a church home, and the Lord has laid New Bethlehem Baptist Church on your heart, come. We will receive you as a member of our family, family of faith. Thirdly, if you're here and you're backslidden, the altar of the Lord is open. Listen, he's married to you. He means every word that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. And he's close to you as you would want him to be. If you draw nigh to me, the Lord says, I'll draw nigh to you. Come on, come on, come on. Bless your heart, baby. Come on, come on. Salvation. Family.
Restoration. Come on. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on. Come on. The doors, the doors, the doors stand ajar. Come on. Bless you, brother. Come on, come on. Come on, choir. Yeah. Come on, come on. The doors. Yes, he will. Listen to him.
Trust me.
He wants you to trust him. Listen how simple the Lord has made it. Come on. Come on. Give him your life. Oh, that's a benefit. That's a blessing we have in the Lord. Bless you. Listen, listen.
Trust.
Come on, the doors. Don't you procrastinate. Come give the Lord your life today. Listen to him. Isn't that awesome? Come on, I need you to personalize. Tap yourself. Wherever I go, he's with me. Because I trust him. For your
sin. Yes, sir.
Do you accept him today as your Lord and
Savior? Yes, sir.
Amen. Father, we thank you for these two babies that you have sent to us. Thank you, Father, for directing their hearts. Lord, being in their minds. Lord, being in their being.
Yes.
We ask for forgiveness.
Yes, Lord.
Forgiveness of sin. Strengthen them, Lord, to live the Christian life.
Yes, Lord.
Sometimes up.
Yes.
And sometimes down.
Yes, Lord.
They don't know it all today.
But Lord, this is the first day of their lives with you. The journey has begun. And Lord, your will will be lived out in their lives. Lord, help us as a church disciple them, mentor them. Lord, embrace, support, and love them. Lord, that you be pleased.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, with their little lives. As they go from childhood to adulthood.
Yes.
I pray that you order their steps. Lord, and protect them. Keep them. And use them for your glory.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Yes, sir, they'll get you all's information. And I want you all to make sure they're in Sunday school. We have little children's orientation and help them understand salvation. So make sure they come and they're placed in that class so they can be taught who they are. The artist. Amen. Come on, bless the Lord. Amen. That's our brother in the front. Does anyone need a couplet? A communion couplet? There's a hand. There's a hand. There's a hand. Amen. If you need a couplet, please raise your hand. Raising high. Amen. If you need a couplet, raise your hand. can give you today. Come on.
And it flows to the lowest. And he, oh, the blood that gives me strength.
Verse 26 says, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink it, or drink ye all of it. For this is my blood for the New Testament, which is shed for many, for the remission of your sins. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for giving us this ordinance as a way of remembering what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us in his sacrificial death on the cross of Calvary. Thank you for the shed blood and his broken body. We receive it with thanksgiving. And Lord, as an expression of our faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, and as an acknowledgement of Christ being our Savior and Lord, forgive us our sins and cleanse us from unrighteousness. Heal our relationships and help us to live as brother and sisters, Lord, in your family, among one another, and exhibit before the world, Lord, unity, oneness. So the message of Christ will be proclaimed and believed. In Jesus' name we pray. Broken body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, take, eat in remembrance of him. Shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus, take, drink for the remission of sin. All hearts and minds clear. Everybody sing, yeah, amen. Everybody sing. Everybody sing. Amen. Amen. Sing it over. God be with you.